Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Now back to the Cook and Joe Show presented by JP Roofing and Siding.
You know who's going to score tonight, Ron?
Is this a bet?
Might be.
Who?
Brian Dumoulin. You want to make a bet?
Brian Dumoulin will score tonight?
Yes, he will.
Joe, start the music.
Start the music, course!
Brian Dumoulin will score tonight.
Elevation, trying to help you. Here we go.
Brian Dumoulin! The long shot tipped in, finds its way past Hauser. It's 4-3.
Okay, it is one of those nights.
Ron, that shot was not tipped in. That was Dumoulin from the point. I won that bat that night.
And you called it.
And I'm calling for him to have a pretty good playoff series, too, because he usually does. And he's on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Brian, how are you tonight? And aren't you glad that I called your goal against Buffalo?
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm doing good. Good to talk to you guys. Yeah, that was quite the call there. You probably would have got pretty good odds if you were betting.
Well, I actually said to him, Brian, I said, do you say Brian Rust or Dumoulin? And he goes, Dumoulin. I go, you don't mean Brian Rust. He said Dumoulin. So you delivered for him big time.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, thanks for calling that.
Absolutely. And it was about 3 years ago, Brian, that I did a piece on you where I was trying to figure out what made you the winner that you are. I think it was something at that point between high school state titles, college national championships, a junior A championship, and two Stanley Cups. I think it was seven championships in 11 years. And I found a quote from apparently one of your childhood buddies, one Matt Latterbush. You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He said, I think Brian was born with the ability to win. And then people like Ray Shiro, Sergei Gonchar talked about just your I don't know if it's an addiction to winning or you seem to be magnetized to winning. What is it about you that you always seem to wind up on the winning end, most of the time anyway?
Right, well, I've been on really good teams and had some really good teammates, some good coaches. I mean, that always really helps. I know at BC we had amazing talent, especially up front. Very great coaching and really good leadership. And I think at all the programs, too, we had really good tradition of winning. And also the culture there was to win, and anything else was unacceptable. So when you walk into those kind of atmospheres in those rooms, that's the expectation. So obviously when the expectation is that high, the pressure's on. But, I mean, for me, I just try to do what it takes to win. I mean, if I don't score a goal and we win the game, I'm happy. And that's kind of what I put priority first is to win the game. And when you do that, good things will happen. And that's kind of been the way it's been for my whole career. And if I just do the little things that are needed to win the hockey game, that gives us the best chance to win.
Ray Shiro insisted that you be part of that deal a long time ago. Instead of a second round pick, he wanted you. And I remember Jim Rutherford saying that Ronnie Francis loves this kid. And I think Ronnie loves some of the subtleties of your game. And I had another one of your coaches, Sean Tremblay, say this about you, Brian. Early in your career, he said, how do you feel about never being on the power play? You said, we have other guys who do that. I'm here to defend and move pucks. And you told him, it's like you told me, defend and distribute, and you'll be worth your weight in gold. that's turned out to be the case. I mean, you have a really nice contract on your hands. And yet, I imagine at some point in your career, you said to yourself, listen, I'm not going to be that power play guy. I'm here to defend and move pucks. What was that like for you to sort of accept that role and perfect it?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things about becoming a team and winning as a team is everyone's got to have their defined roles. I mean, if you have everyone as the same player, then you're not going to be a good team. And with BC, I was on the power play, the second unit. In the minor leagues of Wilkes-Barre, I was on the power play, sometimes first, sometimes second unit. And up in Pittsburgh, I was a little bit, but I knew that me being on the power play, obviously Chris Letang, the first unit, they usually get a minute and a half, usually every power play. So my role wasn't going to be as much power play as it was in the past. So with that, I had to focus on other areas of my game that I can do well. And from that point on, I just had to play my game and be as consistent as I can and as reliable as I can. And obviously playing with a guy like Chris Letang and being out there a lot with Sid and Gensi and Rusty, my job is to just try to get the puck out of our defensive zone and defend hard and have us not play in the defensive zone, because that doesn't do any of those players well. They're offensively gifted. They work hard defensively, but my job is to get pucks out quick, to have a good gap, and to create turnovers so they can go in on the rush. And I know that Tanger's going to be jumping up and making that play, and that's what I want him to do. I mean, if we give up a 2-on-1, it's my job to stop it. So definitely know my role, and I try to play the best I can.
We're talking to Penguins defenseman Brian Dumoulin. Brian, you know what it takes to win a Stanley Cup. You've done it twice. In the last couple of years, you've fallen short, and I know you know what that feels like too. Why do you feel like this team is capable of doing what those teams did a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, early on, I mean, you could sense it. We didn't have great starts in games, but we'd come back and we'd win. And we had that belief early on that no matter what the score was, we could come back and have a chance to win the game. And we did that a lot at the beginning of the season. Those points were crucial for us. And then obviously we dealt with a lot of injuries. And in the past, we've done that as well. I think we only had two guys this year play all 56 games. So we had a lot of guys that were coming in and out of the lineup. And in playoffs, we're going to have the same thing. I know guys get injured, guys get hurt. And it's important for us to have guys that are capable and have played some big minutes for us during the season and have confidence when they step in the lineup in playoffs. And you could see when guys came into the lineup that they were playing hard, and that gave us success and gave us a chance to win every night. And when you're watching that and you're injured, when you come back in the lineup, you want to carry on that and play as hard as you can and try to follow suit. So we had a really good balance this year, and I thought we had a great team chemistry. I think it, even during the COVID times, it helped where none of us were really going out to eat individually. We're all getting together and having to spend time, a lot more time with ourselves and our team. So I think we became closer as a group, and I think we have a really close team right now.
Speaking of that, your longtime defense partner, Chris Letang, you guys have had a long, productive relationship. What's it like playing opposite a guy? So it seems like such opposite styles in a way, and it seems like your role would be interesting with him being a creative, sometimes risk taker type of guy. What's it like playing off that? And if you could just speak to that relationship.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, me and Tanger have a great relationship on and off the ice. I mean, we hang out a lot, and it's awesome playing with him because he always wants the puck. And I mean, playing with a guy that always wants the puck, he always tries to make himself open and available. And that's great to play with, because if I'm ever in trouble, I know I can give it to him, and he's going to put himself in a position where he wants it and can create a next play from it. So we have a good relationship in that aspect. Obviously, I want him to create chances and to jump up in the play, because when he does, he's a threat, and usually it leads to a scoring chance. And obviously, the occasional time, it could end up in a 2-on-1 against or a 3-on-2 against. And I mean, that's part of my job, is to stop those rushes and to be back there and to make good reads and to try to stop a 2-on-1 before it's going to happen. So I think we read off each other pretty well, especially breaking out the pucks in the zone, jumping up in the play, especially O-zone, trying to go DZ and spread the zone and get the puck in his hand. So we have a good relationship, and I think it's gotten better and better throughout the years. Obviously, the more we play together, the better we feel together. So definitely love playing with him.
Brian, we all know what Sid does on the ice, but I'm always fascinated. I hear stuff that he is just such a wonderful captain. Can you just speak a little bit about what he means to the team off the ice? You know, we know on the ice, obviously.
Yeah, off the ice, I mean, he's such a great person. He's very humble. He's always including everyone, whether you're a rookie on the team, you're a call-up, no matter who you are on the team, he's inviting you to dinner, he's inviting you to his house, he's inviting you everywhere he can, whether it be on the trip, on the road, or whatever he's doing, he always wants guys included. And that speaks to the volumes of him, where he's just a really awesome guy, easy guy to talk to. He's a blue collar guy. I mean, he grew up from a great family, and his work ethic is incredible. And I think that's one thing that he's done for the Penguins organization is just created that culture of his work ethic, and it's hard not to follow suit when he's working so hard. So, I mean, he's a tremendous, tremendous person. He's a great friend, and we're very lucky to have a guy like that in Pittsburgh.
Just a couple more minutes here with Penguins defenseman Brian Dumoulin. Brian, the Islanders, I feel like a lot of people look at them as a passive team, but in reality, I think they also come with a pretty strong forecheck. Can you talk about them stylistically and how and what's the key to sort of dealing with them?
Yeah, they're a deep team. I mean, they forecheck hard. They have great balance through their lineup. They work extremely hard, and they make things difficult. But, they're a tough team to play. Obviously, a team that we've played a lot these past few years. They had made some deals, obviously, at the deadline and stuff, and we haven't played them since. So I'm looking forward to this series. I mean, it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a battle. You look around the league, and all the series are going to be tight. So, I mean, that's what we're expecting. We're going to have to work for our chances and look forward to get it going. It's been a little bit of a wait here, but definitely look forward to game one.
Brian, I think everybody was shocked when they swept you just 2 years ago. You know, what did they do then, and what do you have to do different this time to make a different result?
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, obviously, we have a different team, and so do they in some aspects. I mean, some of the philosophies and obviously the coaches are the same, but we have a different team. And, I mean, I kind of put that one in the past. Obviously, we have to really focus on who they are this year, what they're doing this year, how they've been. And we haven't really been looking, or especially myself, haven't been looking to the past for answers. Just want to start fresh and play as hard as I can for game one.
So when does the beard growing start? Does that start the day of game one? Is it already started? Who's got the best and worst? How does that all work?
Yeah, I mean, some guys, especially who can't grow beards, they kind of carry one over from regular season a little bit. That's kind of what I do a little bit to get a little growth. Some guys are superstitious and go to shave on the same day, and some guys shave a couple days before. But, I mean, when it comes to game one, you don't touch the beard after. Some guys do, but I don't know. For everyone, it's different, and it's kind of a cool tradition almost.
Brian, we appreciate the time, man, and good luck in this series.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Stay healthy. Stay healthy, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You guys have a good one.
See ya.
You too. Brian
Dumoulin. Heck of a player, man. I voted him two for on my list of MVPs after Sid.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.